the Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.
Trash is picked up by Bobby Berwood.
He's back, and he's back with a bang.
Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahee.
And greetings from Dick's Sporting Goods Park for the latest Rapids podcast. Lots to discuss and digest this week, starting with the news which broke on Tuesday afternoon that the club had parted ways with head coach Pablo Mastroeni. We'll hear from interim head coach Steve Cook. Stefan Aigner arrived this week. The new signing from 1860 Munich talks as well. And Luis Gil, whose move from Orlando City was announced just after last week's podcast went to air, chats about his return to the Rockies region. But first, let's go to the top line of the week, and that is the departure of Pablo Mastroeni. He took charge in March of 2014 and had a 38-51-35 regular season record. He oversaw the best season for points and finish in the standings in 2016, but clearly 2017 has not been so kind. Interim general manager Porig Smith sat before the fans and media in a live Q&A on Thursday. Here's a selection from that session.
Anytime you make a decision of this sort of magnitude, it's challenging and difficult. When it involves someone like Pablo, it's doubly so. I mean, he's a complete legend at this club. You know, on the field, what he did for us, you know, bringing the cup home in 2010, that was fantastic. He then stepped up when he was asked to in 2014 to become the coach, led us to a fantastic season last year in 2016. So he's somebody we have great affinity for here, somebody that, you know, everybody kind of looks at and knows embodies the club. But ultimately, this is a results-driven business, and the results and the performances were not what we wanted, and that's what led us to this week.
Let's get on to the questions then. C38 via YouTube are asking, the club has historically avoided acquiring players via transfer when there's a fee of any size. And those may have read yesterday in the Denver Post, the op-ed, that you mentioned prioritising, quotes, financial intelligence. Does this mean the club will continue prioritising free transfers over players that require fees?
Well, certainly financial intelligence is very important in any sort of salary cap league, so it goes without saying that that's something we're going to continue to look at. But I don't think it's fair to say we've shied away from transfer fees. I mean, a transfer fee was paid for Skelchen Gashi, a transfer fee was paid for Nana Boateng. So I think when the right player comes along, when we identify a player that we want to bring in and that we think will add greatly to the group, we will be willing to do it. I think what needs to be remembered, though, is that in a salary cap league, the transfer fee counts against your salary cap. So you need to make sure that you're doing what's right and building out the whole roster. So I think it's something that, you know, we're not afraid of, we're not going to do, but we're also going to make sure that we bring in the best players to fit the roster.
On to the next question, this one via YouTube. Jason Maxwell, supporters are doubtful due to the unfulfilled past promises. So what do you see as a realistic time frame for fans to see actions that match the goals that you set out in that op-ed yesterday?
Well, I think this is something that will evolve, and I think that's very important for us. We have a very clear vision, a very clear idea of where we want to get to. We have an idea of the pathway that's going to lead us there, but it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And I think setting unrealistic deadlines or targets is not the right way forward. What's most important for me is that we know what we're trying to achieve here and that we're going to lay out a pathway to getting there.
Edsel Table via YouTube, apologies for that. Can you explain the decision to have so many empty roster spots to start the season and the decision making around leaving those spots open two-thirds of the way through such a disappointing campaign?
That's an interesting question. I mean, the way the MLS regulations are set up, you know, there's a certain number of spots that must be filled and there's other spots that don't have to be filled. The way teams look at it, and we're not unique in this regard, most teams will leave one or two spots open because it actually means you can spend more money on a number of other players. And the way we work it then is with the additional spots that are now available on the supplemental roster, you make sure that you're filling out an overall group. So it's really about making sure you're maximizing both the salary side of it, the financial side of it, and the roster side of it. So it's a varying tactic that can be used to best maximize the use of the salary.
Lots of different questions coming in, so thank you very much for those. Robert Gonzalez via YouTube, what kind of changes can we expect at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, if any? Now, Robert's not specified. I assume he means on the playing side. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's what I'm here to answer for sure. So we'll go with that. I think you've seen the biggest change has happened this week, and that's the starting point. I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect in the past, I would say, between the vision of the club and how that was executed and what was seen on the field. And I think it's something that Wayne Brandt and I are very, very conscious of. And it will be one of our key goals to make sure that we're much more transparent in terms of what we're trying to achieve and how we're going to try and achieve that.
On to Rapid Quinn via YouTube, and I think this is one that many fans will echo. Fans have been promised better teams that play, quote, attacking soccer in past years, even going back to 1996. Very often this promise goes unfulfilled, and management historically responded to poorly performing teams by avoiding responsibility and being slow to take action. So, Rapid Quinn asks, what assurances can the supporters be given that the club will act more decisively going forward?
Well, I think this is one of the first steps that we're trying to take, is to actually articulate what the plan is. So if you look, I mean, we've talked a long time about the Rapids way. You know, what is the Rapids way? And in essence, it's our identity. It's who we are. It's what we stand for and our soccer philosophy. I think if you look at the club's history, there have been a few things that we've consistently stood for. Off the field, we've always wanted to make sure that we represent our organisation, our community and our supporters in the best possible way. We want to make sure that the people of Colorado are proud of their club. On the field, I think the club for a long time, certainly before Wayne or I got here, or even Tim Hinchey, to be honest, the club's successes have been built on a very solid foundation, defensive structure, organisation. And that's something that in some years has led to success and in other years hasn't. But ultimately, it's not good enough anymore. On its own, it's not good enough. So what we want to do, we want to be a perennial playoff team, and we want to be clear about that. And we want to be a team that consistently challenges for MLS Cups. Every action we take here should be done with the guiding light of, is it bringing us closer to winning a championship? That's the way we look at it. So to make that happen, we have to, and by we, I mean Wayne, myself, and everyone else involved in the organization, we have to evolve that Rapids way. So how do we do that? First of all, we have to become a more proactive and attack-minded team while remaining true to the principles that have brought us success in the past. To become more attack-minded, we're going to focus on the player acquisition side of things. So we want to bring in players that have specific traits and qualities. We want to bring in players that play with a boldness, players that play with urgency. We want to bring in players with high soccer IQ, good game intelligence, players that are explosive in their movement, have good mobility. We want to bring in players that are creative, that are risk-takers in the attacking third, know when to take those risks and when not. Ultimately, we want to bring in players that have the same burning desire to win that Wayne and I share. And I think we have to do this while always remaining true to what has actually brought us success in the past. So it's about having a balance there. And that's what we're going to do to make sure that we put a product out there that the people of Colorado can be proud of.
But what about the tangible? What about the evidence? And obviously these are wonderful words, and the aim and ambition is fantastic. But when can fans expect to kind of see that out on the field?
Well, I think ultimately what we've seen this week is that we're not afraid to make the big decisions when they're needed. I think Wayne and I have kind of stepped in now, and ultimately we've taken a look at this. And well, as I've said at the very beginning, Pablo means so much to everyone at this club. But we took a hard look at ourselves as an organisation and said, this isn't good enough. So we've gone ahead and we've made the decision to move on from Pablo. We'll now go out and conduct a very, very extensive search, a global search, to make sure we bring in the right coach. And that's something that I think our fans will be happy with. Our fans certainly deserve it. They deserve that we take the time to go out and bring in the right people. So when we add that, we'll slowly start to see the changes. Now, I think hopefully we'll see those changes beginning immediately, but they will take time. I've had a number of very, very good conversations with Steve Cook about certain tweaks that we're going to make in the short term that will hopefully start to show people that there's a movement toward the goals that we're trying to achieve.
Richard Fleming was listening to that and was also sitting alongside Porig for the Q&A. It's always tough to see a club legend depart and someone who has always given his all for the organization. What is your reaction on first hearing the news?
First off, I think that, you know, the usual lines, incredibly sorry to see Pablo go, and simply because he's a decent person who was battling every day, and we saw him, whether it was around the stadium or out on the training field, he was battling every day to better himself and also to make the team better. But it's a tired old cliche, and we heard it in Porrick's Q&A on Thursday, but this is a results-oriented business, and the results haven't been good enough in 2017, and I think particularly off the back of what was a tremendous 2016. The side hasn't kicked on. The fans wanted more. We all wanted more. I know reaching the playoffs is still going to be a difficult ask. 12 games to go. A decision was taken in the hope that this season can still be salvaged. But it's always difficult to see a popular figure, a legend of the club, depart. You just hope that the team can now kick on and, as I say, try and salvage something from what has so far been a disappointing 2017.
Well, we move to the first podcast interview with the newly named interim head coach of the Rapids, Steve Cook.
Sitting with the interim head coach, Steve Cook, this is a question I've put to Porrick a number of times over the last few days. It's been a tough week.
It's certainly been a tough 24 hours, you know, and certainly since we found out yesterday afternoon that Pablo was going to be leaving this position, it's for me the overriding emotion has been a little bit of sadness because, you know, Pablo's a really great friend of mine. He's been a great colleague to work with and work for. I have every admiration for him. I respect him a great deal. I feel for him. I feel for his family, who are great people as well. And I think we all do because, you know, he's a club legend. He's somebody who I think is an exceptional coach and gave us some great memories of the club, both as a player and as a coach. And I think we owe him a debt of gratitude. And unfortunately, this time of the season when results don't quite go your way, as always happens in our profession, the head coach kind of has to bite the bullet on things and we all have to pick up a few of the pieces and we all have to work a little bit harder. And I think now's the time for us all to reflect on our own performances and really give everything we can for the club the rest of the season because we need to turn things around.
And that brings us to the next question. 12 games to go. It is a big ask. What are your short-term, medium-term and long-term aims over the next dozen games?
Well, certainly my mind at the moment is short-term because we have a game on Saturday evening and we have 2 days to prepare the players. My only real focus at this point is to help the players make as much progress as they can. Hope they feel confident, ready going into the weekend. Hope they're as well prepared as we can possibly make them and allow them to go and express themselves and play to the best of their ability on Saturday night. Once Saturday night comes and goes and we can take a little bit of a breathing space, I think then we can look a little bit further ahead. Right now the focus is purely on helping these players to perform well and get a victory this weekend.
And you know as well as I, when a new coach comes in, there can sometimes be a bit of a honeymoon period. The players can raise their game. What is the kind of mood within the camp?
We have seen that in many cases, and I hope that that's going to be the case again. The mood this morning was in training, at least after we met with the players, was upbeat and energetic. It was positive. As always, the guys put in a great shift of work and they rallied round each other and created a real good atmosphere for training and worked as hard as they could. I expected nothing less because it's a great group of players we've got and they gave us now for a long time. They've given us this passion and this energy and this commitment to the group. And I think what I really took from this morning was how committed they are to each other and how much they really want to do well together and for the club.
Obviously, results have to improve. Does that mean a different approach? Will we see a Steve Cook kind of side out there on Saturday?
Results do need to have to improve, obviously. If we're going to reach where we want to be this year, which is making it into the playoffs, results have to improve starting with Saturday. There will be changes made. Obviously, we've only had 24 hours to really think about this. So a lot of change can't be done so soon that you end up confusing people. But I think over the course of a period of time here, we will slowly implement a few little adaptations, a couple of changes. We will tweak one or two little things to try to help the team be more bold, create more opportunities, score more goals, while still maintaining that determined, organised, disciplined defensive group that we can be. But part of that is so that we can attack in greater numbers and so that we can go create chances going forwards. Because as you said, we do need to improve results. That's a given in this industry. And a guy lost his job who we all care deeply for because of that. So we need to turn it around pretty quickly.
I'm going to take a little sidestep here and then we'll get back onto matters looking ahead to Saturday. Stefan Aigner was in camp and obviously, you know, you've alluded there to results needing to improve. A new player in Louis Skill as well. What have you seen from them over the last few days?
Both really great additions to the group and both top class people. I think Luis speaking of him first, you know, he's been in the league for quite a while now with Real Salt Lake, and he did exceptionally well as a young player in Salt Lake and then more recently in Orlando. And Luis has come into the group and he's going to adapt straight away because he does know the league, he does know the players, he has some good friends in the group that he can relate to straight away. He hasn't missed a beat and he looks fit and raring to go and ready to contribute to the team over the course of the next few months. And really pleased with the energy and positivity that Luis brings. As far as Stefan goes, he's played at the top level. He's a wonderful person. He's a great professional. He's obviously missed a bit of a pre-season because of the transfer window, and the last time he played was back in May. So he's going to need a little bit of time to get football fit. So you can do all the running on your own you want. He's really got to get football fit. But again, he's going to bring in a real energy, a real commitment. He's a great professional, and he's going to be a forward-thinking midfield player for us, and I think he'll create some great opportunities for players.
It's an interesting kind of dynamic that you find yourself in now, because it's obviously a wonderful honour, a fantastic honour to step in as head coach of the Rapids. But the circumstances that surround that, how does your dynamic change within the group, within the coaching staff, going from an assistant to the head coach? And is that something that you've again, had to get your head around pretty quickly?
Yeah, it changes. The dynamic does shift. Obviously more of a leader role than being an assistant coach and helping the head coach deliver his message and really get the best out of the group in the way that he wants. For me now, I look at it as looking forwards. You know, my career is not my concern at this point. I'm honoured and I'm privileged and I'm excited about what we could maybe do from here. But my real concern at this point is the playing staff and making sure that they are in a great frame of mind and really hungry to go and perform at the weekend. And anything else at this point is kind of secondary in my mind. And again, my mind is firmly fixed on helping the players achieve everything they can this weekend.
So this weekend, the first of what is now 5 remaining home games, and kind of give us a sense at this point in the season, and bearing in mind what's happened this week, how crucial this fan base is and how crucial their support will be.
I think after a week that we've had, especially from a player standpoint, we need the fans now more than ever. We need them to give their full back into the players. If the player makes a mistake, really get behind them and support them, cheer them on. And no player makes mistakes on purpose. They always give it their best shot. And I really would encourage the fans to back the players as much as they possibly can. Bring a real positive energy and a spirit to the game. And hopefully they can lift us to 3 points. And the players will certainly play their part by giving everything they've got.
There is Steve Cook talking to Richard Fleming. Currently interim head coach, does he have a shot at taking the job on a more permanent basis?
Well, this is interesting. There has been precedent. Brian Schmetzer did just that with Seattle in 2016, although a little earlier in the season. He absolutely does have a chance. And there's history within the club. Gary Smith took over towards the end of 2008, and he had 11 games in charge. He was then given the position on a permanent basis, and of course we know what happened with Gary Smith. He took the team to MLS Cup in 2010. He'll have assistance and guidance from Chris Sharp and Connor Casey. As we're recording this, we're looking out on training on Thursday morning. Danny Stone is out there as well, and also the head of player recruitment, head of scouting, Mitch Murray, who's a vastly experienced guy in this sport. Will also oversee as an advisor. That said, the club has gone on record as saying that a global search will also be carried out in order to find the best candidate for the job. Interesting to note, the last 3 head coaches of the Rapids have all been first-timers as head coaches. Gary Smith, Oscar Pereja, and Pablo Mastroianni-Smith, as we said, was instrumental in the MLS Cup success, but has done little since leaving the Rapids. Well, yeah, of course, we've seen what Pereja has done with FC Dallas. So clearly new coaches can cut the mustard, but it's a risk. It's going to be a calculated risk. Steve Cook has the job for now. It will allow the club to a little bit of time to get the person they feel will shape this team into a competitive force, and also more significantly, and Porrick Smith was absolutely determined to stress this point in the Q&A, looking to make this side more attacking, more attractive, and more exciting. So for me, as disappointing as it is to see just a decent guy lose his job this week, it's going to be an interesting 12 games over the coming months. And also we've got the storyline set for the off-season, something to consider also for 2018. This next appointment, I do feel, is absolutely vital, and the club, I think, is fully aware of that. The league is getting stronger, it's getting bigger, and the Rapids, of course, have got to keep pace. As I say, I think a few big months coming up for the Colorado Rapids.
Well, Steve Cook's first game in charge will be this Saturday, a home contest with DC United.
Are you in for 90? Enjoy a craft beer and a game courtesy of Hodel Brewing in the Colorado Rapids.
Takes a little deflection and oh, that's in! It is Kevin Doyle!
The Rapids take on DC United on August 19th at 7 p.m. at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
What a wonderful goal from Dominic Badgie, and he stinks like a bee!
Starting at just $34, get a ticket to the game, a 90-shilling beer, and a Rapids t-shirt courtesy of Hodel Brewing.
Striking one!
Go to ColoradoRapids.com.
So that's this weekend at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. We would love, as always, to see you out here. We may see an appearance in the 18 of the club's two new signings, Stefan Aigner and Luis Gil. Aigner joined on a free transfer from German club 1860 Munich, while Gil arrived along with $100,000 in targeted allocation money via a trade with Orlando City, which took Dylan Powers in the other direction. First stop, Germany. And Stefan Aigner has been in conversation with Richard Fleming.
Stefan, welcome to Colorado. Take us back to when you first started football. How did you get introduced to the game?
Ich habe angefangen in der Jugend bei 60.
I started in 1860 Munich, played all the academy youth levels until 18, and then went to Wacker Burghausen in the second division. After a couple games, I played at Arminia Bielefeld in the first division, made my first five appearances, and then returned to 1860 Munich before spending 4 years at Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. Now I'm here.
Und letztes Jahr dann wieder zurück in meine Heimat.
And was football all you wanted to play? Were there other sports that you were involved in as well growing up?
Nee, bis jetzt nur Fußball. Von
I started with 4 years of age playing soccer, and it's always been a big passion. And I'm very lucky that I've been able to make it profession as well.
Ich habe das Glück gehabt, dass ich zu meinem Beruf machen konnte.
Who inspired you growing up? Who did you look up to in the sport of football?
Ich war immer großer Fußballfan als Kind und habe dort damals schon immer Bundesliga geschaut, war immer im Stadion.
Ever since I was little, I enjoyed the sport of soccer. It was always in the stadium and just enjoyed the atmosphere, the fans and the art of playing soccer.
Sein unten am Spielfeld, also das hat mich immer inspiriert.
What about academically? Was there any other career that you wanted to pursue outside of football?
Es war dann, ich war damals 18 und dann hat sich die Frage gestellt, wie es...
When I turned 18 and I finished school, I had the opportunity to play the second division in Germany, and it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And there, after finishing school, that's something that I really wanted to pursue, playing professional.
Man legt einen anderen beruflichen Weg hin.
So Stefan, what would you consider your highlights in your professional career so far?
Ich denke, mein Highlight war damals, ich bin zu Eintracht Frankfurt, habe erste Liga gespielt.
When I first came to Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga, they were just promoted from the second division in Germany and immediately played in the Europa League. And that was a very nice time in my career, playing 4 years as a starter in the first division in Germany. It was the highlight of my career.
Yeah, die schönste Zeit, wo ich zurückdenken kann.
You spent your entire professional career in Germany. How big a challenge are you expecting here in Major League Soccer?
Ja, ich freue mich, dass ich erstmal hier bin.
Firstly, I'm excited to be here. It's a good opportunity for me to learn a new league, and it's interesting because of the distance between the two countries. And after only playing in Germany for so long, it'll be good to learn new leagues and new players and teams.
Weil ich eben nur in Deutschland gespielt habe.
Describe the player that you are and what you will bring to the Rapids.
Ja, ich hoffe, dass ich natürlich helfen kann.
Firstly, I'm excited to help the team and hope that I can help the team. And I think that after having a 2 week break or a 2 month break of playing, I can find myself back into training and get used to the team and be a starter and contribute.
Ich bin, kann ich der Mannschaft helfen und ja, ich freue mich.
And how have the first few training sessions been? How have you got on out there?
Ja, es war schön, hat Spaß gemacht natürlich.
The first 2 days have been good. It's a difference from trying to keep yourself fit to getting training fit. And of course the altitude doesn't make it any easier.
Dazu, was natürlich auch nochmal ausschlaggebend ist, aber es hat auf alle Fälle Spaß gemacht.
Well, Rich, you've spoken with him. What have you seen of him in training?
It's early days, and of course he's arrived and he's playing amongst new teammates, new players, a new system. And he's been kind of had a training out of what you would call competitive day-to-day with other fellow players for the last couple of months. He has kept himself fit, but it's a very different kind of fitness. So it's going to take him a little bit of time. This clearly his touch, his body position, his movement, his vision, all of that is of a level you would expect of somebody that's played in the top flight in Germany and for a number of years. And it's sometimes tough to see from a training session how they are going to fit in. And of course, he's having to acclimate, as you would say here, I would say acclimatize. but of course...
At least you didn't say acclimate.
Acclimate. It's going to take a little time. And until he steps onto the field for his first competitive game, which I don't know whether will be this weekend. He may make the 18. But it's going to be a tough ask, bearing in mind it is at altitude. And also there's a tough stretch coming up. There's Portland next Wednesday, and then there's RSL, and of course there's LA, and there's Houston. So there's a lot of games in a short space of time, and I don't think they'll rush bringing him in. I think we may see him in one of the road games in the next few weeks.
Next to the 23-year-old former RSL midfielder, Luis Gil. He had 6 seasons in Utah before spending 2016 in Mexico. He joined Orlando City on loan in April from Liga MX's Querétaro. Gil was on the bench at Dallas, having made the move 2 days earlier. Richard spoke to Luis after training on Wednesday.
Luis, welcome to Colorado. Just give us a sense of, and as a player, those 24, 48 hours when you're still an Orlando player and then the trade and then a Rapids player. It's a bit whirlwind before you, I imagine.
Oh, it definitely is. The first minutes, hours, you know, that you're trying to get things together, it's difficult, you know, but when it's all said and done and now I'm finally here, you know, I'm comfortable as ever and I'm ready to get after it.
On the bench on Saturday, again, we were hearing that you were going to join the team, that you were then going to go back to Orlando, and then all of a sudden we see you in the 18. What was that in terms of just kind of adding to the occasion?
Well, definitely it was something I wanted to do. I wanted to, you know, be a part of the team as soon as possible. You know, even if it wasn't with trainings and such, just to get to know the guys, be with the team, you know, see how things are run and how things go. So I feel like that was a really positive thing for me, and now I'm here in Colorado and doing my best as possible.
First few training sessions, how have they gone?
Good so far. I got in last night, so this is my first training session here, and I still got to get used to the altitude a little bit. You know, it's been a while since I felt it, but it's great. Trainings are intense. We're looking forward to this weekend.
Getting used to it again. I mean, you're not unfamiliar to this region with the Rockies. Six seasons at RSL, so you'll know Colorado. You'll know a little bit about them, and it's been a tough season. What can you add to the side?
Definitely, you know, bring the positivity to this team. You know, I feel like we can be a great team. You know, like I said, I've been in RSL for a bit, and we've always had that rivalry with Colorado, and things have always gotten intense, so I know what this team has in them, you know, and it's just bringing it out of them, and it's everything day by day, every training session, just giving it your all.
And obviously it's been a strange week. I mean, you know, with the departure of Pablo Mastroianni and a new interim head coach, you've arrived at a new team. What is kind of, I mean, teams can go one or two ways. What is the approach from these guys? Are they just kind of just eager to get going again?
Definitely. Obviously, it's difficult when you lose a coach, especially for these guys who've had him for a while. You know, I just got here. We just got to look forward. We want to thank him. You know, I know the guys were talking about it. They wanted to thank him for all he's done for this team. And it's just moving on from now and trying to put our best foot forward for the rest of the season.
And for those that are not too familiar with Luis Gil, what are your strengths?
I'm a simple player on the field. You know, I like to keep things simple, make the flow of the game, you know, kind of dictate the game with the ball at my feet and get players involved. That's really a big strength of mine.
And you know, I think you know Dylan Cerner from the time with...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So how kind of beneficial is that? You're not coming into a team where you absolutely know nobody.
Oh, yeah. I know a few of the other guys as well, Eric Miller, Jared Watts. And so, you know, I'm coming into a team where it helps knowing some guys, you know, makes it a little bit easier. But at the same time, I'm all for making new friends as well.
And for you, it's a brief time at Orlando. I mean, this for you, is, as I imagine, as a professional, it's like, right, I want to prove myself again. That kind of gives me that motivation.
Definitely, it's a big motivation for me. I didn't have too much of an opportunity over there, and it's kind of a fresh start for me as well, again, being here. So it's all positive for me, and it's all just moving forward and doing the best I can do for this team.
There is Richard Fleming with Louis Gill. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Welcome back to the Rapids Podcast, ahead of Colorado and D.C. United at Dick's Sporting Goods Park coming up this Saturday. Time now for Parting Shot. This part of the Rapids Podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila. Made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques, Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, what do you know?
We are 2 weekends in and already seeing some of the uses for the video review system, recently introduced, of course, by Major League Soccer, a system which was supposed to clear up debatable decisions. And yet last weekend, there were at least 3 occasions where VAR was used, including, of course, the Rapids game at FC Dallas. And the outcome actually sparked further debate and fueled more confusion. The other incidents were the one involving Orlando City's Kaká. He was sent off following that rather strange altercation with Aurelien Collin of the Red Bulls, hands to the face, which at the time seemed all in jest, and so maybe a little harsh for him to be shown the red card. And then the revolution, New England against Vancouver, Tim Parker shoving Kellen Rowe. The initial contact appeared to be inside the box, and we saw numerous replays.
Yeah.
The referee would have seen that during the review, would have been able to slow it down, and would have seen that the contact was indeed inside the penalty
area. Seemed like
area.
An easy one
An
to
easy
me.
One, and yet he gave it just outside the penalty area. So
why?
Well, the fans, you know, fans and commentators have had their say on all of these and more, which kicks into the long grass, I think, for me. One of the concerns that we had at the outset of VAR's implementation, in that there were fears this system would end debate over questionable decisions. Now, what it should have cleared up were those clear-cut, which at the natural speed were sometimes difficult to judge. Mm. But the two situations that we saw, some of the situations we saw last week, and I will use that Kellen Rowe, Tim Parker one, as you're reviewing that and you're looking at it through slow motion, you've got the luxury of seeing it from different angles over and over again and slowing down the play. So that, to me, was a confusing one, and it has just added to the debate. That should have been, having had the sets of eyes on it, that should have been a penalty. Now, where the credibility of VAR is going to be questioned is even after the review, there is still no clear-cut reasoning as to why a decision is given one way or the other. So that for me, added to the confusion, I think. We're still seeing, even after reviews take place, and even after decisions are either upheld or overturned, we're still not happy with the outcome. There's still debate suggesting that the maybe subjective element of the sport is not going to go away anytime soon, which for me, and I know having spoken to Kevin Doyle about this in the lead-up to VAR, or video review, is maybe a good thing, that it's still going to have that healthy debate, irrespective of the use of the technology. And the one other thing that I'm going to finish on is, and it's kind of revisiting the promotion relegation chat from the last episode. Did you see Tuesday's US Open Cup game? It was FC Cincinnati against New York Red Bulls. Over 33,000 watching that game in Cincinnati.
FC Cincinnati has 2 of the top 3 attendances for a U.S. Open Cup game in the past, I think, ever, actually. I think if I read that correctly.
So, in other words, when we're talking about the glass ceiling within the soccer structure in North America and stifling momentum because there is not promotion and relegation, and again, there's good and bad on both sides, and there's no quick solution, I think right there is a perfect example. Now, would FC Cincinnati have 33,000 at every MLS game? unlikely. They're kind of riding that element of the underdog, and we sure want to give the big boys the bloody nose.
But still, if you can get 25,000 at every MLS game.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is you go back to that. That was an example at a time when they're talking and there has been debate about promotion relegation. You've got a team that hasn't got MLS membership, is hopefully in the running to get a franchise, but it's not the global kind of natural, you know, the natural evolution of a team. If you're successful and you do well and you build momentum and you get big crowds and you get a big following, that can normally tie in with playing at a higher level. Not the case. 33,000 for an Open Cup, and you know, they're not alone in, and it's good. It's good for the sport in this country, bearing in mind where it was 10 years ago, that we're having this debate. And it's suggesting because the sport is growing, it's getting stronger, there's more people, there's more interest, there's more investment, there's more political and community support. And again, I think it's something that maybe not now, but maybe sometime down the road may have to be revisited.
Well, the Rapids' first game without Pablo Mastroianni in charge will be this Saturday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. DC United comes to town. Two of the lower place teams in Major League Soccer.
Two of the strugglers.
Yes, exactly. DC United, bottom of the East.
Without a win in eight.
What's that?
Without a win in eight.
Right.
DC United and nine, if you include, I think, all competitions, which I assume was the Open Cup.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because obviously there's a ton of chatter that, okay, well, if Pablo has been shown the door, then when is Ben Olsen's exit from DC United? Because they've had a more tumultuous, probably a similar to probably even more tumultuous three or four seasons than the Rapids have.
And it's tough because, you know, we saw with Brian Schmetzer, and actually there was the role reversal with Ziggy Schmidt, is that Ziggy Schmidt at Seattle never got a chance to work with Ladero, which
right,
many people saw as the tipping point for Seattle's season in 2016.
So, right.
And Kurt Anelfo.
What does Areola do for Ben Olsen's future?
And also, you know, with LA, Ziggy Schmidt stepped right into Kurt Anelfo's boots with Jonathan Dos Santos, who was brought in. So, you know, not that he's had too much of an impact so far. So Ben Olsen has now got better players to work with. He's going to have a new stadium to get into. So the excuses are kind of running out for him. Look, when you're on the outside looking in, you think, oh, you know, get me, you know, sack the coach. When you're on the inside and you realize that, you know, somebody's livelihood, that these are tough decisions to make, particularly people that have been players with the club, that are then coaches with the club. These are not easy paths to go down, but ultimately you've got to look at the bigger picture, and no one person is bigger than the club, and sometimes big decisions have to be made, and you hope that it's a decision that bears fruit and takes the club in a more positive direction. Obviously DC United haven't reached that point yet, but this is you know, it's an interesting game. The Rapids have not beaten DC United, I think, in the last six meetings. That's home and away.
Yep.
No Deshaun Brown, by all accounts. It looks as if he's going to be suffering with, or has been suffering with, concussion. So the former Rapids player unlikely to take the field here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park this coming Saturday. But this is important. You know, you make a change in coach, you change direction, you look to change or tweak philosophy a little bit in terms of your playing style, and you want to keep that momentum, because after Saturday, the Rapids are not back home until September the 16th. They've got four games on the road,
yeah,
and these are big games. And you know, the turnaround time is going to be short. Portland on the road, and then RSL, and of course, not just, you know, picking up vital points for the league, but the Rocky Mountain Cup as well, which is as important. And I know Pablo's kind of phrase, his stock phrase in the past was, you know, beating RSL or winning the Rocky Mountain Cup was kind of a byproduct to success on the field. And obviously, the Rapids need to win games. It just so happens that the Rocky Mountain Cup and Rail Salt Lake are in the are coming up on the horizon. So a big game on Saturday. You don't want to kind of go out on the road with just a point from your kind of last home game. You don't want to be smarting from that. So this is a big game against a struggling side. If the Rapids do harbour ambitions of climbing the standings and still making a push for the playoffs, these are the games that they absolutely, absolutely need to win.
Three games in 7 days for Colorado, starting Saturday night here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Join us on Altitude Television for Rapids kickoff at 6:30. The actual kickoff will be just after 7 p.m. That's on Altitude Television. Every game, as it always is, will be on Altitude 950, altitude950.com, or the TuneIn app. Our pregame coverage with Mark Bertinoli and Alan Bacca starts at 7 p.m. with play-by-play, starting with Jordan Angeli and I at 7:08. Again, Altitude 950 over the air, altitude950.com, or the TuneIn app. Next week, we'll be in Portland on Wednesday night and in Salt Lake City on Saturday night. Wednesday's kickoff will be 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And RSL's kickoff will be 8 o'clock Mountain Time from just across the Rockies. We'll have plenty to talk about then. We'll do a Rapids on the Road podcast, I assume, because of travel situations. But the home one for this week is in the books. We thank you for joining us and see how things go in Steve Cook's debut as interim head coach of the Colorado Rapids Saturday as they host DC United. Visit coloradorapids.com for everything that you need to know. But thanks again for joining us. See you out here on Saturday, and we'll see you next week on the Rapids Podcast.
The Rapids Podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.